helping them be fathers after the father's own heart. Call in at 877-573-7825.
Everyone says they want to have a great marriage and family and personal life. Well, the theology of the body reveals how you can actually achieve it.
More to life.
The happiest couples know how to say I do to each other every moment of every day.
Surprising. Relevant. Hopeful.
Angela, let's not just settle for stopping your son's behavior.
Exactly. Let's talk about the kind of young man you want to learn.
Practical, theology of the body-based answers for every part of your life.
God's original blueprint didn't include depression and anxiety.
Yeah, that's a human invention. God wants to set you free. Let's talk about making that happen.
The life you were meant to live through the theology of the body. More to life.
Good morning, everyone. You are listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And a happy Feast of St. Joseph. We are celebrating St. Joseph's feast day today by talking about men. And we're asking, what challenges, guys, do you face in being the man, the husband, or the father that God wants you to be? It's tough being a dude these days, and help make it a little easier. For that matter, ladies, you're welcome to call in as well on the challenges you face in supporting the man in your life to be the husband and father that he's trying to be, that you need him to be, that your kids want him to be. Let's talk it out together, those challenges of being a man after the father's own heart, just like St. Joseph. 877-573-7825.
I think this is a wonderful time on this feast day to sort of step back and say, how can we have the fathers in this world that are so much like Saint Joseph, who was so attuned to the Holy Spirit? He could always, He could even hear the Holy Spirit in his sleep. You know, when he's dreaming, he hears, you know, Joseph, get up and take your family and flee to Egypt. We all, I think, every woman of faith wants a man like that. I think that men truly in their hearts, whether they're men of faith or not, want to be good, upstanding men and men who can make their families feel safe and feel protected and feel loved. But that's hard. That's hard in a generation where men don't know who they're supposed to be or what they're supposed to be anymore, because they take so much flack for just trying to be men. It's hard at a time where men have not really been raised in much faith, and then they are suddenly there leading a family, and they don't really know how to do the spiritual work of fatherhood. It's hard in a time where most people haven't had really good role models for what family life should look like or what fatherhood should look like. And I think it's leaving a lot of our women and children not knowing what they deserve or what they can count on or how to get what they want, even if dad is present and there, or how to deal with the father who is only there part-time and how to make that all work. There are about a million things that's making fatherhood and family life very, very hard on the day-to-day basis now. And now there's more pressure in the last few weeks than ever. And so we're here to help you figure that all out. Whether you're the man dealing with all of this, whether you are the woman who needs to figure out the challenges that your man is going through, or whether you're dealing with, you know, those thoughts about, well, how do I fix this after I didn't have the father I needed? We're here for all of it today as we celebrate St. Joseph's feast day, and we ask his intercession for all of our families now.
So again, the question, 877-573-7825, we're asking men, is what are the challenges you face in being the man, the husband, or the father God wants you to be? Or ladies, call in and share, what challenges do you face in helping the man in your life be the man, the husband, or father that he's trying to be, that you want him to be? 877-573-7825. You know, we talk pretty regularly about the research that talks about the importance of fathers. Parents really aren't interchangeable.
No, they're not. Everybody thinks they are, especially nowadays.
But it's really not true. Fathers bring some interesting gifts to the table that are unique to them. And interestingly enough, the research on this is pretty new. You know, we're only now, since the 90s, really, able to see how the brain works in different contexts and begin to see how the father's brain changes once he has kids and how biologically the father impacts the child's brain development as well. So, for instance, there is some research that shows that active moms help babies' brains regulate stress more effectively, but active dads help babies' brains process aggression more effectively. And there are different mechanisms neurologically for both of those things, for the way the mother's body talks to the infant's body and the father's body talks to the infant's body. When I say the body talks to each other, I mean literally they communicate with each other and sync up the rhythms of their various organ systems and brains with each other. An involved father helps a child develop more sophisticated vocabulary because moms tend to use more baby talk, which is important to teach infants how to the parts of speech, the different components that build words and sentences.
And also engages them because it's more sing-songy, so it helps to build their attention. Yeah.
Where dads have a tendency to speak more normally to their children, which enhances their vocabulary and their communication abilities. When it comes to spirituality, many of you are familiar with how important it is for dads to be involved in their children's spiritual growth. We often will hear from moms that they feel like they're doomed if they don't, and that's not the case. But there, again, is a complementary relationship there where, in a sense, mom helps the kid remember to pack their spiritual lunch, and dad helps the kid remember to take that lunch on the road. In other words, when mom is involved spiritually in the child's development, the child learns the importance of a personal spiritual life. Where dad is involved, it helps the child take that spiritual life out into the world and realize that prayer is not just something that one keeps in one's heart or one's home, but it's meant to be lived out in the world, out loud. So there's a complementarity, as the theology of the body teaches, between the gifts that men and women bring to the parenting table. And so there are unique gifts, very unique gifts, that only fathers can bring. And it can be hard, I think at all times, but in some ways especially at this time, to be that loving, engaged, involved father after God the Father's own heart. And so we're dedicating today's show on this Feast of St. Joseph to all the dads out there and asking you, what are the challenges you face in being the man, the husband, or the father God wants you to be? Because, look, you know, even if you don't have kids yet, you know, being a good father starts with being a good man. And
good
if you're
point.
And if you're married and you don't have kids yet, then being a good father, it requires you to be a good husband.
Believe it or
not.
Because
the whole point of parenting is teaching your kids how to grow up and have healthy, godly relationships, right? Mm-hmm. And if you're the best father in the world, but you're not a great husband, then that's going to affect your ability to parent effectively, right? So all the dudes out there, if you are struggling to be that man like St. Joseph, that husband, that father like St. Joseph, or ladies, if you are really wondering how can you support the man in your life in being the man, the husband, or the father that God wants him to be, that St. Joseph was, let's talk it out and find some ways forward at 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825. Let's take our concerns to the Lord, and then we'll start taking your calls in the name of the Father,
Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for your example of what it means to be fully man, fully human. And we thank you for the example you've given us in your foster father, St. Joseph, a man who can inspire all of us to be fathers after the Heavenly Father's own heart. We bring all of the concerns of all the men out there today, especially, who are struggling to be the men, the godly husbands, the godly fathers that you need us to be. And we lift up all the women who are struggling to know how to best support the men in their lives in fulfilling that mission. We ask that you would fill our hearts with your love, with your compassion, with your wisdom, so that we can truly be godly men, godly husbands, and godly fathers, and that we can lead our families into closer relationship with you and with each other. And we ask all of this through the intercession of the Blessed Virgin Mary, Saint Joseph, and in the name of the Father, and the Son,
and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Pope Saint John Paul the Great.
Pray for us.
Today on Mortal Life, we are celebrating Catholic Father's Day on this feast of Saint Joseph by helping men be fathers after the Father's own heart. We're going to be sharing some tips throughout the program, by the way, from my book, The Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad. That book looks at the 8 Beatitudes as a model, a template for how men are called to be fathers after the Father's own heart. Each of the Beatitudes is really a blueprint for being a godly dad. And the Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, looks at each of those Beatitudes in the light of Christian fatherhood. So check it out at CatholicCounselors.com. We'll be sharing some tips from that book throughout, but give us a call and ask us your questions about being a man like St. Joseph. 877-573-7825.
Let's talk now with Drew, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Maryland.
Hi, Drew. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Yes, hi. I'm going through a divorce. I have a 2-year-old daughter. She'll be 3 at the end of April. I spend a very limited amount of time with her. And when I say that, I'm talking about 7 hours a week. And I'm currently going through all that right now as far as attempting to get more access. But my main question is, in the time that I do have with her, what are things that I can do to kind of bring her that warmth? So I'll give you an example of one thing I do already. When I get her, I just sit her down for a few minutes, and we just spend that initial moments in kind of that quiet and silence. I'll hold her, I will hug her, and then I'll say a quick prayer, as you all describe, often inviting Jesus in. And then I try to just bring that warmth throughout the time that I'm with her. But I notice, for instance, when I turn her back over to her mother, she becomes anxious again. So I don't think she's getting that emotional stability over at her mother's house. And I'm trying to kind of create that when I am with her. But A, the time is limited. And, you know, B, it's certainly very difficult to do certain things with her because I only have her for a short amount of time anyway. So I'm looking for more ways to kind of create that warmth even amidst this chaotic
situation. God bless you.
Thank you
so much for your call. What a great question, and what a beautiful way to kick off the program.
I have to say this. Drew, your intentionality and what I believe will be your continued intentionality throughout her life, because you're entering into every time with her in such an intentional way, in such a way that brings her to God. You're obviously giving this a great deal of thought, even when you're not with her. It's going to pay off. There are dads who are there 24/7 who don't take that kind of intentional, focused time. So with you keeping her in prayer and doing this and wanting more, take comfort in the fact that she will have vivid memories of all those times, and it will bond you together, and it will help her through her life.
It's so easy for men who are going through a divorce to, you know, it's painful. And it's so easy for men who are going through that pain to get lost in that pain, and for you to be able to reach out and be there for your daughter the way you're describing, and to want to do more. I just want to applaud you for your desire and for your effort there. You're doing all the right things. The thing I would just say, when you're talking about a 2-year-old, and, you know, this is going to change as the relationship grows, we talk through the different stages and ways to build rapport with kids through every age and stage and parenting with grace. But for now, the most important thing is that physical connection. You know, we tend to divide up infancy and toddlerhood into two different stages, and they are different developmental stages. But in the bigger picture, you know, infancy really extends to at least age three, because the child's brain and body are still developing so much, and their ability, a child's ability to self-regulate, to emotionally regulate, depends so much on physical contact with the parent, because their cortex, their thinking brain, hasn't developed enough as a toddler to really regulate their stress level, their, you know, aggression level, all their bodily rhythms to kind of calm down by themselves. So they rely on close contact with mom or dad's body so that they can reset their biological and neurological rhythms. So, you know, when a kid is stressed out or upset, who's, you know, a two-year-old or under three, they're very limited as to what they can do for themselves. So keeping that child close to your body helps to set that child's heart rate, respiration rate, body temperature, helps to activate their parasympathetic nervous system, which is a calm down nervous system that slows everything down and helps them feel safe and secure. The more physical contact you can have with your child under three, the absolute better. So all the things you're doing are in the right direction. I would just say do more of it and keep her as close to you physically as possible. There's nothing wrong with letting her run around and play with. That's good too. As a toddler, she wants that, but you know, she needs that closeness with you.
Right. So the way you're starting is ideal, really. Then on top of it, you know, make sure that during that visit, you know, no matter what you're doing, you're stopping and you're giving her extra hugs, that you've picked out, you know, fun new books when the libraries are open again for her for each visit, so that you'll have the ones you know she loves and then some extra ones. So you're reading to her, but you've got her cuddled up in the crook of your arm while you're reading her picture books that she loves, that you're doing tactile things together, like, you know, playing with Play-Doh, but you're right next to her. Those things that will keep you in that very, you know, short 7 hours as close as possible.
I would also say, you know what, if she takes a nap, you know, during that time, you know, I would just really encourage you to keep her, to be close to her while she's napping too. You know, let her nap in your lap. You know,
let her nap in your arms.
That's not wasted time. I think a lot of times, you know, especially when you've only got 7 hours, you feel like, oh gosh, if she gets the nap, then I'm losing that time with her. Because at this stage of toddlerhood, it's so much about body-to-body communication. The being physically close to her, even when she's napping, her body registers that presence, and your nurturance is really registering there and doing really good things for her. So, you know, don't feel bad about that piece too.
Andrew, I just want to encourage you. I think you're doing the best you possibly can under these very difficult circumstances, and don't think that because she's two going on three that she's not going to remember. I had a very short time with my dad before he died in my life, but I have very vivid memories that nobody else was there for, of his doing things with me, really wonderful things that have, you know, really touched my heart and kept me in a place of love and knowing that I was loved through my adulthood, even though really my time with him grew very short by the time I was about 3.5 years old. So I can tell you personally, she will remember these times with you even now, and they'll continue to grow better as she gets older.
The only other part you were saying, that when your daughter transitions back to caring, back to your ex-wife's care, that she's stressed out, that's going to be normal, and there isn't a lot you can do about that. That doesn't mean that she didn't feel calm with you. It means that she's having to resync up with her mom.
And the transitions are just hard.
Yeah, and so, you know, again, because kids that age can't physically self-regulate very well, she's going to need mom's help to reconnect with her and, you know, reconnect with her mom's rhythms, and so that's really going to be up to her mom to help her re-regulate. But you're doing everything that you can, and I would just encourage you to step it up. All right. God bless you, Drew. We will certainly add you and your family to our More to Life prayer list. Slip in an extra prayer there that maybe you guys could find a way to reconcile. But either way, that you would be the dad that God wants you to be, because you certainly want to.
And I would keep praying to Saint Joseph throughout your life to let him be sort of your patron saint. Amen. On guiding you through being the dad you want to be.
We have to go to break, but we are continuing to take your calls about being the man that God wants you to be on this feast of St. Joseph. If you're a guy out there and you're facing challenges in being the man, the husband, or the father that God wants you to be, let's hear from you. And ladies, What are the challenges you face in helping the man in your life be the husband or father you need him to be? 877-573-7825. When we come back, we'll be joined by Damon Owens of JoyTOB.org. He's going to be sharing with us insights from the theology of the body on being a godly dad. Stick around for that and a whole lot more when More to Life continues.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
If you believe in the power of prayer, Ave Maria Radio invites you to look at their website to submit a prayer request at AveMariaRadio.net. Your prayer requests are shared with hundreds at the Dominican Sisters of Mary, Mother of the Eucharist, the Servants of God's Love, the Monastery of the Blessed Sacrament Cloistered Nuns, the Family of Faith Apostolate, and the staff of Ave Maria Radio. Just go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the Community tab to submit your prayer request today.
Life sure is different right now. Things we've taken for granted, like shaking hands, going to work, being with friends, and even going to Mass are being challenged. Ave Maria Radio is responding to the COVID-19 coronavirus by playing the Mass each and every single day. The Holy Mass will air Monday through Fridays at noon and at 8 a.m. on the weekends. You may not be able to go to Mass, but you can participate in the Mass by listening to Ave Maria Radio on the air, on your computer at AveMariaRadio.net, or on the Ave Maria app on your smart device.
This program is brought to you in part by Charity Mobile, a proud partner of Ave Maria Radio for over 15 years. Charity Mobile is the pro-life cell phone company and has sent nearly $2 million to thousands of pro-life charities. 4G LTE coverage is available nationwide, and 5% of your monthly plan price goes to your favorite pro-life charity. A video introduction is available at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile, everyday living, effortless giving. CharityMobile.com.
Welcome back, and thanks for joining us today on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and today on More to Life, we're talking about Father's Day on this Feast of St. Joseph, helping men be the men, the husbands and the fathers that God wants them to be. Joining us right now, Damon Owens of JoyTOB.org is here to talk about the theology of the body and fatherhood. Hey, Damon, welcome to More to Life.
Dr. Greg, Lisa, are we far enough, close enough with the social distancing here?
I think we're good.
Okay, good.
And, you know, you kind of hit the jackpot being able to talk about fathers on this Feast of St. Joseph and the theology of the body. Hit us with some wisdom, my friend.
Oh, I tell you, I absolutely hit the jackpot. St. Joseph is not only one of my my patron devotional saints, but for the entire church, and St. John Paul II, who also shares the space in my heart, in my formation, talks so beautifully about the role of St. Joseph and this fatherhood, that an extension of God the Father is at the heart, not just of the theology of the body, but really the heart of the Christian life. I was so thrilled when you came out with the Beatitudes and made that explicit connection between the Beatitudes, which is the expression not only of how we live for sanctity, but also of God himself, his fatherhood, and how we live and encounter it. So, yes, jackpot. And I would just add this, as we're contemplating. It's not just about ideals. It's not just about abstract concepts when we speak about fatherhood and about our role as sons and daughters of the Father, but a very practical connection. It's very much a priesthood, if I can use that word, a mediation. That when God is his fatherhood in terms of creating life that can exist outside of him on its own, and then to ensure it's good, there's a principle there about fatherhood and authority that, again, is not an abstract, but throughout our scriptures, throughout our church, our sacraments, our liturgy, our prayer, everything is meant to be an experience of that. And it's so natural, then, that when we speak about human fatherhood, about biological fatherhood, that it should be rooted and grounded not just in those principles, but in the experiences of what it means to be a part of creating life that exists outside of us, and then to ensure it's good. And that just conjures up all kind of questions and challenges and fears and doubts about, you know, what do we have? How do we become? What is a father? And to root them in the Beatitudes allows us to look at the virtues, to look at the character of God the Father, and to ask that fundamental question about how our fatherhood, our engendering life and ensuring good, and be a model of the perfect father who's God.
Well, and I will say this, kind of building on what you just said, you know, in my first chapter on Blessed Are the Dads Who Are Poor in Spirit, you know, my take on that is, you know, none of us know what we're doing, but if we can be dads who are poor in spirit, that's okay, because we're always eager to learn and always eager to listen to God and to our spouse and to our children, so that we can be the men that God wants us to be. And Damon, you are an inspiration to me, and I want to thank you for the gift of your fatherhood and what a witness it is to our family. And I just encourage folks to really go to joytob.org and learn about your ministry. And I know you're doing some exciting online things, webinars and other online talks at this time. So if folks are interested in having Damon visit you, even though we're doing the social distancing thing right now, you can still benefit from Damon's wisdom and learn more about the programs he's offering online at joytob.org. Looking forward to hearing more about that in the weeks ahead, Damon.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for being with us. God bless you. And listeners, we're taking your calls on this Feast of St. Joseph about being fathers after the Father's own heart. If you are facing challenges in being the man, the husband, or the father God wants you to be, or ladies, if you're having a tough time knowing how to support the man in your life and being the husband or father you need him to be, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. More to Life. We'll be back after this.
More to Life is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization: Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% of the referral check to Ave Maria Radio and Students for Life. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Hi, this is Father John Ricardo, inviting you to join me as we explore some of the deepest questions that arise in our hearts, questions that shape the way we think, the way we speak, and the way we live. For all of these questions, Christ is the answer.
Our individual and corporate relationships with the Lord, our relationship to the church, the precepts of the church, our relationships with the world and the culture that surrounds us. Father Ricardo discusses these things and more, all from a Catholic perspective, on Christ is the answer. Listen to Christ is the Answer, Wednesday evenings at 8, Saturday evenings at 6, and Sunday mornings at 11 on 990 WDEO, 1440 WMAX, and AveMariaRadio.net on the Internet.
Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is the image of the invisible God. He points us to our destiny. He reveals the dignity of the human person. He is the one who makes known the Father. Christ is the answer.
Ram is the only pickup truck to be distinguished as Motor Trend's Truck of the Year 2 years in a row. That's correct, 2 years in a row. Hi, I'm Dan Hall from Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. And during Ram Truck Month going on now, you can enjoy leasing a new 2020 Ram Bighorn Fruit Cab 4x4 for as low as $239 a month. Superior styling, comfort, quality, and safety is what has earned us this crown back-to-back. Come in and choose your new Ram from over 10 acres of inventory only at Pinckney Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, or visit us online at PinckneyChrysler.com. Celebrating 20 years in business.
Hi, I'm Lisa Popcheck. You may have heard the phrase, the family who prays together stays together. But you may not know that this is backed up by significant research. Based on hundreds of studies, couples who pray together tend to be 15 to 20% happier than couples who don't. In fact, the more often you pray together, the happier you'll be. In one study, couples who said they pray together a lot were 30% more likely to endorse a positive statement about their spouse. Making God a regular, important part of your marriage relationship will help you have a more intimate, healthy, faithful marriage. And committing to prayer as a couple will enable you to show the world that the love that God shows you is possible. So today,
ask your spouse to pray with you. And remember, God wants to change the world through your marriage. For more tips on how to have a God-centered marriage, visit moretoliferadio.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Dr. Greg Popchak.
And I'm Lisa Popchak.
And we're wishing you a happy feast day of St. Joseph. And today, of course, is kind of a Catholic Father's Day. So we are asking all the men out there, what challenges do you face in being the man, the husband, or the father that God wants you to be? You know, we all, as men especially, have a devotion to St. Joseph, either explicitly or implicitly. We see him as our model, because God saw fit to make him the foster father of Jesus. But those are big shoes to fill. And as we strive to be godly men, we run into a lot of challenges. So what are the struggles you're facing in being that man after God the Father's own heart? For that matter, women out there, if you are facing challenges in supporting the man in your life and helping him be the husband or father that he's trying to be, that you need him to be, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Again, that's 877-573-7825.
And of course, that's whether this is a long-standing thing for you, a long-standing question, or it's something that's coming up now that you're, you know, maybe sheltering in place and you're all together and you're thinking, wow, okay, this isn't quite what I thought it would be, or how do I do this, or how do I keep from cracking up with that? We're here to help you be the family you want to be, and for all those men out there to be the husbands and fathers that they want to be, either now or in the future. If you're looking toward the future and saying, how do I do this when it's my turn? Give us a call at 877-573-7825. That's 877-573-7825. We're talking now with Benjamin, who's calling us from Wisconsin.
Hi, Benjamin. Welcome to Word of Life. What's going on?
Hi, thanks for taking my phone call. So the last about year or two, I've been really looking into the spirituality of masculinity through theology of the body and biology, scientific research and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it's borne a lot of fruit for me. I'm not a married man, but I think today's culture, pretty much every man has the question, you know, what does it mean to be a man?
Yeah.
And that has really, like I said, it's borne a lot of fruit for me, and like you were mentioning at the beginning of the show, there's a lot of really interesting research that shows the particular gifts of men and women as men and women, mm-hmm. and the complementarity there is very, very beautiful, but I was wondering if you could give me some pointers on actually good research for that, because I've looked around, I found some really good stuff, but there's also some that it seems to me to be a bit sketchy, that, you know, claims like women are just objectively better at personal relationships,
yeah,
based off brain biology, and they cite actual brain studies for that and whatnot, but
and it's nonsense.
It doesn't
yeah. Yeah, no, that's a great question.
Not only is it a great question, but first of all, let's start with, yay, we've got this great man of God in the world. I always love when we do shows like this, and these wonderful men of God who are so intentional call in. It's like gives us all hope for the world. And also, your intuition on this is so right on, Benjamin. So good for you.
The studies that we cite on this show that talk about the differences between men and women, we draw pretty much from science websites, from professional publications. I try to stay away as much as possible, honestly, from popular writing on differences between men and women. You know, John Gray did a lot of work with this whole kind of Mars and Venus thing. My problem with a lot of the popular writing on this, even Catholic popular writing on this topic, is that it tends to come off like men and women are entirely different species who can't relate to each other at all because God made them so different. And that's really not either what the research says or what the theology of the body would have us think about those differences. That's not to say there aren't real differences. For example, at the top of the program, I gave three examples of studies. And by the way, Benjamin, if you want to kind of do your own search, one of the best sources for a lot of the information that that we use on the program, especially the differences that men and fathers and mothers bring to the table in parenting, is a website called Science Daily. If you look at their Mind and Brain channel, that's where we get a lot of our stuff. In terms of how do you interpret the research on the differences between men and women? So I said at the top of the show, there, just to give, recap three examples. There's good, solid research. This is more from research into mammals than humans, but there's studies that show that when mothers are actively involved, these are studies of rat pups, when mothers are actively involved, that helps the baby's brain regulate stress more effectively. When fathers are actively involved in infant care, it helps develop the parts of the baby's brain that manage aggression more effectively. And there's research that Alan Shore did on that. There is good research on language development. You know, as I mentioned at the top of the program, moms tend to use more baby talk. They tend to be a little more sing-song in their tone. That helps babies develop the different parts of building blocks of words and sentences and grammar and structure. Whereas dads tend to speak more normally to their children, which helps children develop a wider vocabulary and better sentence structure earlier on. When it comes to spirituality, you know, moms tend to kind of lay the foundation for a personal and meaningful and intimate prayer life, where dads have a tendency to help that child learn to take that spiritual life on the road and out of the house. So, for instance, if you have a kid who's raised in the house where the mom is spiritual but the dad isn't, to the degree that the child develops any spirituality at all, they tend to see it as a very personal and private thing. Whereas if you have a mom and a dad who are both spiritual, the child is more likely to have a meaningful personal spiritual life, but also have a sense of mission and be able to take that spirituality out into the world. The point I'm making in all of this, these studies that point to the differences in male and female brains and male and female biology, they aren't meant, though, to be understood as men and women are different species. Because what I run into a lot in counseling is, well, I'm a man, so, you know, my wife wants me to be emotional, and I can't be emotional. You know, well, I'm a woman, and my husband wants me to be more physical, and that's just not what a woman is. You know, that's nonsense. All right, the difference is, the theology of the body teaches us that the differences that God built into our bodies are meant to be complementary. That men and women are both fully human beings, and so they are capable of doing all the things that human beings need to do to live full, joyful, and abundant lives.
So both can be fully nurturing, both can be fully intimate, both can have all of those virtuous characteristics that we are called to have and display. They display them a little bit differently.
Complementary ways. The style that men and women approach different tasks is different. But their competence is similar, if that makes sense. And when men and women do a task together, whether that's nurturing a child or solving a problem or sharing emotional intimacy, they're going to approach it in different ways, but they are both fully competent of doing the task well, if that makes sense. All right? And together, men and women, when they do a task, are more able to manifest the all the virtues that God gives to human beings in approaching that particular task. So the fullness of our humanity is best expressed when men and women do that thing together and bring their respective gifts. But it's not that, oh, well, men are men because they do these things and they can't do these other things, and women are because they can do these things and none of these things. It's really much more that men and women are created by God to be complementary, so that as they live out their full humanity in the bodies that God gave them, they are able to do all the things that God asks us to do in the most competent and most abundant way possible. The only other thing I'll leave you with, you were saying you're not married and you're kind of wrestling with this whole idea of what does it mean to be a Christian man. The other thread that kind of bugs me, honestly, in a lot of men's ministry, especially in the Catholic world, is that that's the kind of whole man up philosophy. You got to become a man. You got to man up. You got to do things to be a man. That's really not a theology of the body perspective on masculinity. From the perspective of the TOB, you are a man or you are a woman because God gave you a masculine or feminine body. As you work to live out the fullness of your humanity through the body that God gave you, by serving others, you become more manly or more womanly.
Right. Live a virtuous life. It's going to bring out that in you.
It's like, it's like fruit, right? You can't yell at an apple tree, be more apple-y. You know, you can't yell at a bunch of teenage boys, be more manly. That's not how it works, okay? The way it works is you be a human being in the body that God gave you, and you serve others with that body and with those virtues and talents God has given you. And the fruit of your masculinity or femininity flourishes by itself in that. And so a lot of those messages that we give men, and less so women, honestly, but more men, that they have to, they're not man enough the way they are, they got to be something else. That's really actually very destructive in a lot of ways. So just a heads up to all the parents out there and all the ministers out there. If you want to raise godly men, manly men, teach them to be full human beings and to serve others through the body God gave them, and the fruit of their masculinity will flourish as a gift from God. Great question, Benjamin. Thanks so much for that. 877-573-7825. We're going to break, but as we do, we are going to share our scripture verse of the day that comes to us from Psalm 103, verse 13.
As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him.
Oh, beautiful.
Again, Psalm 103, 13. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him.
Amen. Well, we are taking your calls on this Feast of St. Joseph about being the man, the husband, the father that you want to be, that God's calling you to be. And ladies, if you are facing challenges in supporting the man in your life to be the husband or father that he's trying to be or that you need him to be, let's talk it out. 877-573-7825. Again, that number, 877-573-7825. More to Life will continue with your calls after the break.
Did you miss the open enrollment deadline for 2020? Options are still available. In fact, Pro-Life Catholic Healthcare is just a click away. CMF Curo offers an affordable, community-based, pro-life Catholic healthcare option. If you still need healthcare this year, now is the time to join CMF Curo. Visit MyCatholicHealthcare.com for affordable healthcare options for Catholic singles and families. That's MyCatholicHealthcare.com.
I saw a post on Facebook that I had to share. As a communications evangelist, I post communication messages on social media, and this had to be one of them. It said, being biblically correct is more important than being politically correct. When I read that statement, I automatically thought about the persecution of Christians around the world and how so many people are worried about being politically correct that they refuse to speak truth about an ideology that promotes hatred and even death for anyone who doesn't share the same beliefs. They hide behind religion, yet it's not politically correct to talk about it. So we don't quote scripture where Jesus says, love your neighbor as yourself, or read in the book of Isaiah where it says, cry aloud, do not hold back. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people their transgression, to the house of Jacob their sins. No, we shy away from standing up for what is right and just, all in the vein of being politically correct. This has been a Christ Center communication message. I'm Vanessa Denha-Garmo, a communications evangelist.
On the next Cresta in the Afternoon.
Mattia Ferrarsi is an Italian journalist very familiar with the United States. He joins us to describe what happened in Italy to turn it into the epicenter of Europe's coronavirus epidemic and what we can do to avoid the problem. Also, we'll talk about Carol Hauslander's insights in dealing with the virus.
Cresta in the Afternoon from 4 to 6 on 990 Ave Maria Radio.
Want more tips for living a more joyful, abundant life through the gift of the theology of the body?
Well, and follow us on Facebook at More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa, and on Twitter and Instagram at Catholic Counselors. We'll see you there.
A blessed feast of St. Joseph to you all. Thanks for joining us on More to Life on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. I'm Lisa Popchak.
I'm Dr. Greg Popchak, and we are taking your calls about Father, on this Catholic Father's Day, about being the man, the husband, the father that you feel God's calling you to be, and the challenges you're facing in that process. 877-573-7825. If you are a lady who's listening and want to know how to support the man in your life in overcoming those challenges to being the husband or father that God's calling him to be, that he's trying to be, we're here for you too. 877-573-7825.
We're talking now with Patrick, who's listening to EWTN Radio in Wisconsin.
Hi, Patrick. Welcome to More to Life. What's going on?
Good morning. Thank you. My wife and I, we have two sons, freshman in high school and a senior in high school. And the senior in high school, he's pulling away. He wants to, I think, you know, he's exerting his independence, which is great. I'm thrilled with that. But in a way that's always not, you know, so respectful to me. And he always goes to, you know, to his mom for permission on things. And
so what are the things that he wants to do, and how is he trying to go about it? Give us a concrete example.
Sure. Like, he wanted to go skateboarding yesterday. And he said, could he go with his friends? And I said, well... and so my wife, she said, well, let's ask Dad. And I said, no, you know, with this whole lockdown thing, the social distancing, it's really not the best idea. So once he heard that, then he was, you know, really not, he wasn't thrilled with me. And then when I'll, you know, he wakes up in the morning and, you know, come in, it's like, okay, but the younger son is like, oh, hey, Dad. And, our older son is just, so it's that, you know, So it's just, I don't know, it just seems like everything that I say, it's just always a struggle. It's kind of like a power struggle.
Sure, sure. And what kind of time do you get with him? What things do you do together? What sort of one-on-one time, if any, do you get right now?
Really not that much at this point, because he'd rather be with his friends. I mean, I don't know if that's an excuse or not, but... It's luckily I'm in a position where I don't have to, you know, be outside of the home for work. And that was so I can be with him. Mm-hmm. And then I hear, you know, my wife said, oh, well, grandma, or my son wants to know, oh, well, when's Dad going to get a job? And it's like, okay.
So here, the rule of thumb here in terms of enforcing rules and relationship and all that is that rules minus relationship equals rebellion, and rules plus relationship equals respect. And what I'm hearing here is that it's not that you've lost your relationship with your son, but that it's not as strong as it needs to be for you to have the influence you'd like to have. I don't think there's anything wrong with the limits that you're setting. I think those are perfectly reasonable limits, right? And especially in this time where we're all kind of dealing with, you know, this crisis, of course you need to be really, you know, on top of that. But, the issue here is I think it's going to be really important to find some ways to get some one-on-one time with him where you're not lecturing him as much as you're listening. You know, where maybe he has the opportunity to teach you something, for instance. You know, if there's a game or something he's good at or whatever, you know, he can kind of walk you through things where you can kind of be in that one-down position and learn from him. Or even just, you know, I mean, nobody's going out right now for breakfast and those kinds of things, but, you know, getting some one-on-one time with him doing a project around the house. I would even insist on it. I understand that he wants to be with his friends, but even... You know, kids his age need time with mom and dad, and need that one-on-one connection, where you can really listen. And if you in those times, if you want to talk about, you know, his attitude or struggles that he's facing or whatever, focus on asking questions as opposed to telling him what to do. So, you know, asking him, you know, how do you want to be known, you know, in other people's eyes? You know, what are those qualities that are important to you to really, you know, be living out up to?
And brace yourself, because you're going to want to tell them what those qualities are. You know, you're not going to want to listen all the way through if you begin to hear something that doesn't feel optimal to you. So make sure you're not just saying, but I think, you know, right afterwards.
But then when you get that list of qualities, and we talk about this, by the way, in Parenting with Grace in the teen chapter, where we talk about helping a kid develop a mission statement. Once you've kind of clarified, you know, what are those qualities that are important to him? You know, how do you, you know, what does he want to be thought of in the eyes of his friends and others? What you know, how does he want to be known? Then what you can do, see, is you can use that against teens, because teens hate hypocrisy. So
not to be intentionally mean, but to call him back to who he truly says he wants
to be. Yeah, so when he asks you a question about, you know, should I do this or that, you can say, well, you know, you've told me that you want to be this kind of person. In order to be that kind of person, what choice do you think that you need to make? So you're not putting yourself in the position of telling him what to do. You're giving him the gift of learning how to think virtuously about the choices that he's making. But that's got to be rooted in the discipleship relationship that you've created with him by having that one-on-one time. Another thing I'd suggest to you, I'd really love it if you'd go to him in the morning when he wakes up, both your boys, and I'd like you to just sort of, you know, be there when he wakes up and you hear the alarm go off, and just sit on the edge of the bed and give him a blessing. You know, say, hey, buddy, good morning, and I love you with all my heart, and we'll just give you a blessing. Lord, just bless my son. Help him to know how much I love him, how much you love him. Bless all the challenges he's got to face today, and just be with him and let him love you first and most in everything he does. And if there's a specific concern he's got, lift that up in prayer. If there's something you're particularly proud of him for, thank God for that gift. But just make that two-minute connection. With each of your boys, at the first thing when they open their
eyes. First thing, and I didn't mean to step on you, but you can even add to the end of that if you're feeling particularly tense, Lord, bless my relationship with my son and help us draw closer together to each other and to you.
Help me be the father
of each other
that he needs me to be.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, making those little moments of connection, I think, are just so important to fuel our ability as fathers to mentor our boys and girls.
And I want to underline this in case anybody missed it or came in late to your recommendations here, Greg. This isn't only making those times to talk about the deep stuff. You know, right now, with your saying to your son, no, you can't go skateboarding, which was definitively the right thing to say, the second part should be, what can we do together today to, like, get rid of some of this cabin fever? Do you want to make a pizza together? Do you want to, you know, play a video game together? Do you want to play a board game together? Do you want to, like, you know, if there's enough personal space in your neighborhood, do you want to go out for a walk just the two of us and stay away from everything?
You know, in your driveway, I'd love to see what you can do. You know, I know you've learned some things in the skateboard since the last time we talked about it. I'd love to see what you do. Can you show me?
Yeah, you know, whatever, you know, those things are that say, I know you can't do this right now, but let's do that together, or what would you like to do together to make this easier on all of us, because I know it's really hard.
So the mission statement suggestion we made is developed in our book Parenting with Grace in the chapter on teens. I'd encourage you to walk through that. Some of the other suggestions that I've made in the context of your call, I've taken from my book The Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad, which looks at each of the Beatitudes and reflects on those Beatitudes in light of God's fatherhood, and what those Beatitudes can teach us about being fathers after the Father's own heart. So I'd recommend those resources to follow up if you need a little more support in following through with the advice we've given you in the call. So that's Parenting with Grace. Check out the chapter on teens. And the Beatitudes, 8 Ways to Be an Awesome Dad. Both of them are available at CatholicCounselors.com. Patrick, thank you so much for your call. And if there is more that we can do to support you in this, you know, parenting teens, especially teen boys, is tough work. We need all the help and support we can get. We're here for you. Give us a call here again on More to Life if we can coach you through the next steps. Or reach out to us through CatholicCounselors.com. Folks, on this Feast of St. Joseph, I just want to encourage all the men out there that, you know, it's a tough job being a godly man, being a godly husband, being a godly father. But, you know, our Lord has given us a beautiful example in St. Joseph. And I just ask all of you to ask for his intercession in everything that you do. You know, a lot of us maybe didn't come from families with a great godly dad. St. Joseph is there for us to be able to ask his help and ask his guidance and ask for his intercession and to lead us to be fathers after the Father's own heart, just like he was. So cultivate that devotion to St. Joseph every day, and he'll help you learn to be that father that God is calling you to be. We also have additional resources to support you in your fatherhood, and really all you listeners who are tuning in at any stage of your life to help you live a more joyful and abundant life. Check out all the resources we have at CatholicCounselors.com. You can also learn more about the Pastoral Solutions Institute's telephone counseling practice, where you can work with a faithful, professional Catholic counselor to transform your marriage, family, or personal life. Social distancing does not mean you have to go it alone. We've been doing behavioral telehealth for over 20 years. We're leaders in the field. So learn more about how we can serve you at CatholicCounselors.com. I hope you have a blessed day, and folks, get out there and celebrate the life you were meant to live, because with God's grace, there is so much more to life.
You've been listening to More to Life with Dr. Greg and Lisa Popcheck. More to Life is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and is carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Dan McGraw. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net.